Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I am your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as we do every Saturday morning, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning, David. What a wild Saturday morning with all that snow.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? How fun. I just worry about my apricot blossoms, that's all.
Yeah. We're here live, and so today we're going to be taking calls just as early as you want to start calling in. We'll talk about a few things first, but yeah.
Call us in. You know, the number is 470-1400. That's 470-1400. And we want to take calls early in the show because we had to miss a few calls last week, and so we don't want to miss any calls this week. So we'd like you to call in as early as you can, and we'll stop whatever we're doing and answer your questions. So it's 470-1400.
It's interesting how the calls pile up at the end of the show.
Yes, they do. And so to alleviate a pileup today, please call in early. And, you know, we just wanted to let you know that the show is brought to you by, everybody knows this, you can say it along with me, we're brought to you by the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And they still have a wonderful March special going on. You buy one product, the first product at regular price, buy the second one at 25% off, and you buy the third one at 50% off. You know, and we tried to talk to the managers about how all of this is working, and they just turned around and wouldn't even listen to us. They just said that this is one of the best specials they've had, and even though they may be giving the store away, people seem to like it. So, if you like it, you better go and take advantage of it, because it's not going to be on for much longer. March is coming to an end. Also, in March, the Dr. Christopher book, School of Natural Healing, is 25% off. And because March, you think of green, you know, because of St. Patrick's Day, the Jurassic Green is 25% off the regular price. And a neat thing also is that our Preferred Customer Club, if you don't know what the preferred customers are, well, then you need to go in and say, hey, I want to be preferred. How do I get to do that? And our wonderful clerks at 160 South State of Norm and 188 South Main in Springville will tell you exactly how you can become a preferred customer. And, you know, the preferred customers get some really special things for themselves. The member special this month is going to be 30% off of all of the Dr. Christopher products during the month of March. That's a big savings. So, if you're not preferred, go be preferred, because we just love our preferred customers, and we treat them right. And with that in mind, then we'll see what David wants to mention. And then remember, we're taking phone calls early in the show. The number is 470-1400.
What I thought we'd talk about before we start taking the calls is green tea.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, green tea is a drink made from the unfermented buds and first two leaves of the tea bush Camellia sinensis.
Just the first two leaves.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know, who knows why they do that, but that's the way it's always been done. And so that's what it is. So I guess...
So if you use the third and fourth and fifth leaves, then it's not considered green tea?
Well, I don't know what they call it.
Okay.
But the first two are the ones that are considered green tea. And, you know, if we look at that in comparison with comfrey, okay,
mm-hmm.
The in comfrey, the very small leaves contain some of the most the principles for cell regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps with green tea, we're kind of getting the same effect of the nutrients that are involved in green tea are primarily contained in those first ones, the buds and the first two leaves. Isn't it interesting, though?
It is.
Green tea, and one of the reasons we're coming up with this program today is because I've had questions about, well, isn't that against the word of wisdom?
Green tea?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's pretty well standard thought now that herbal teas are not against the word of wisdom. That's not a problem anymore. But green tea, since it's the plant that they make black tea from, then it becomes in question because it's first step.
First step, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the green tea for a little while first. Green tea contains antioxidants.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they're called polyphenols, and they destroy free radicals. Remember, chemicals that harm healthy cells?
Right.
Yeah. At any rate, green tea is one of the highest in these, and I guess in those little first two leaves, we're getting a big concentration. Green tea also contains a substance called epigallocatechin gallate. Isn't that a long one?
Phew, I'm glad you're reading it and not me.
And it's a substance believed to protect against cancer. Researchers found that women who drink green tea regularly reduce their risk for pancreatic cancer by 47%.
Only pancreatic cancer?
Nope. But for pancreatic cancer, they reduce the risk 47%. Colon cancer, they reduce it by 33%. And rectal cancer by 43%. Polyphenols and other substances in green tea also show an inhibiting effect against cancer of the stomach, liver, skin, and lung. So, basically, against cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a province in Japan, Shizuoka, where the residents had an exceptionally low incidence of cancer. And after ruling out all other factors, researchers concluded that the low cancer rates were a benefit of extra high levels of green tea consumption. And they traditionally drink about 10 small cupfuls.
Hmm.
You've been to a Japanese restaurant
mm-hmm.
where they have
really
little cups.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they drink about 10 of those a day.
Wow.
You know, they spread out throughout the day. So, you know, you could get yourself an equivalent amount of tea. That would probably be about 16 ounces of tea. Put it in a little bottle and just sip it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be kind of the same thing, wouldn't it? Now, one thing about the Shizuokans is that they only use the tea leaves once.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, they brew a lot of different cups of tea from the same leaves, but they only use the leaves once. And maybe they can do that because it grows near and they can afford it. But at any rate, they only use it once, and then so each of these single brews enables them to get more health benefits per cup of tea.
You would think so when they use a fresh batch every time that it would have more health nutrients in them.
Mm-hmm. Green tea is also a good source of folic acid.
Mm. And we all know how important folic acid is.
Yeah. One of the other things is about folic acid, besides helping to prevent birth defects. See, if you're lacking folic acid, there's a real good chance of having birth defects. But another thing about folic acid is it has powerful protection against heart disease.
Hmm.
And they figure that's because it helps break down harmful homocysteine.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting thing about green tea also is that it seems to help lower blood pressure and cholesterol levels.
Hmm.
Helps stabilize blood sugar. And this is an interesting one. Remember, because of our program last week about fluoride?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at this. It kills decay-causing bacteria.
Oh, interesting.
Without poisoning your body, you know. Fluoride kills bacteria because it's a poison. Green tea can do the same thing because it has antioxidants in it, and it's safe. So perhaps a good alternative
to fluoride,
would be just to drink some green tea through the day.
Well, then we need to start packing kids' lunches with green tea in their thermoses, and right?
Yeah. Now, the polyphenols in green tea also seem to suppress excessive accumulation of fat and decrease fat in obese people. It seems to be the most effective when you drink it just right before exercising. Now, the problem with green tea, and that is that it does have caffeine in it. And so, what do you do?
How much caffeine is in it?
Let's see. Coffee has like 75 to 110 milligrams in a cup of coffee. The green tea has 40 to 60. So it's comparable probably to what a lot of people drink around here. You know, cola drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a lot of the other soft drinks have equally high amount of caffeine in them. So that is a problem. When you make black tea out of green tea, it's a fermentation process. And that fermentation process has been shown to reduce the antioxidant effects down to maybe 10%, 5% of what they were before. And another thing about the fermentation process, also it changes structures in the tea, so that the many beneficial effects of green tea become destructive. One of the things is tannins, a process that happens with tannins in making black tea causes them to be very, very detrimental. You know, tannins are in most plants, and we use them for a beneficial effect. You know, on the colon, they're very good for the colon. But when you make black tea and ferment it, then they become very destructive. So there's a lot of things about black tea that are very bad. And so, and it's amazing that there's such a world of difference between the original plant and how man screwed it up by the fermentation process.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a thought about that, you know.
I kind of thought you would.
I'm wondering that if when the English, you know, went to Japan, you know, and forced their way in there and started a trade going, and saw the benefits of this green tea, if they didn't load it up in their ships, and then that long voyage back to England, and you know, and the moisture and everything, caused the tea to ferment.
Possibility.
And then when they get to England, they are entrepreneurs, of course. You know, that's one of the things about the British, they're good entrepreneurs. Well, they were. I don't know about now with the socialistic system, but at any rate, they were these entrepreneurs that I'm sure when they got there, they're not going to go, well, we're going to throw this tea away because we, you know, it's gone bad. I mean, they just traveled the whole distance of the world with the tea. They probably said, we'll sell it anyway. And then,
well, make everybody believe it's wonderful.
Yeah, really. And I think the English got used to the fermented tea, and that's what he started making it.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Anyway, that's what I think. Book of David here. Now, if you're concerned about the caffeine content, you know, and most people, I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's not a problem. I mean, they do it all the time, and they probably shouldn't. One of the things you could do is you take your tea bag of green tea and put it in your hot water. You know, you boil water and take it off the stove, and then you put it in the water for 30 seconds. And that takes most of the caffeine out.
Hmm.
Not all of it, but most of it.
So
and then and then you go ahead and throw that away, and then put your tea in and then steep it for a minute or two, you know, to get all the other benefits out of it. And then you're going to have a green tea with very, very little caffeine in it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that worked that way.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So.
That's green tea.
That is green tea. Camellia sinensis. I think it's a very excellent herb. And if we treat it right and don't process it and such, it's something that was intended to be very beneficial to us. That's all I have to say about green tea. We can take phone calls now.
470-1400. That's 470-1400. And remember, we're not doctors. We're just, you know, mom and pop, you know, kind of hanging out at the radio station every Saturday morning. But we do a lot of study on herbs and natural health procedures. And so if you have questions concerning that end of it, we'd be happy to address your question. Just, you know, make it a third-person question if possible. That would really help us out.
Yeah, rather than call and say, you know, I have diabetes, please help me. You know, just say, what can be done for diabetes? And we'll be able to answer that question for you.
That's right. And the number is 470-1400. So while you're getting your questions all ready and getting to the telephone and dialing,
we'll go ahead and advertise.
We will go ahead and advertise. And all of you know who sponsors this show. It's the Dr. Christopher Herb Shops. located at 160 South State of Norm and 188 South Main in Springville. And, you know, besides the March specials, they have some really fun things that they've brought in. I know that the herb shop in Orm has those wonderful sprouting bags. Have you seen those sprouting bags hanging up in the little tree there? Oh, they're so much fun. Just put your sprouts in there and dip them and hang them. And doesn't take long, doesn't take a whole lot of effort, and your sprouts come out wonderful. They just fill up this bag, and you can keep it in the refrigerator or take it with you. Anyway, sprouting bags and little sprouting houses. The Springville store will be getting those in also. They also have some other fun things, popcorn poppers. We use popcorn poppers all the time at our house. Everywhere we go, we carry a popcorn popper with us and put veggies and yeast on it. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, popcorn poppers are available at the herb shops. Handheld blenders, you know, for mixing up your Jurassic Green if you want to get really spiffy and elegant about it. You can blend up your Jurassic Green in a handheld blender. If you don't want to be so elegant, just use a spoon and stir it up in your apple juice. But anyway, the handheld blenders really stir it up really well. Jurassic Green, as we know, is on special this month for 25% off the regular price. And it's one of the best drinks to have for your nutrients. And people are starting to crave this stuff because it's so good. The body, your body just goes, wow, that was great. Give me more. And so you start craving it. It's really wonderful. Also, we have baby food, the happy baby food blenders or grinders, where you can put your own food in the top of this baby food blender. And as you crank the handle, it blends it up and makes it just right consistency for the little baby. So you don't have to buy baby foods from the grocery store in those little glass jars that have no nutrients in it. You can have your baby have the same wonderful food that you're making at home and just in the right consistency for them to be able to handle. Also, we have Champion juicers, we have Vitamix, we have Acme juicers. We use our Acme juicer every day because we've been squeezing orange juice for all through the winter season, and we've been getting good oranges lately. They've come in this last week. Sweet, wonderful, make the best juice. And so the Acme juicer with its citrus attachment is just wonderful to have. And those are the things you need to check out at the herb shops at 160 South State of Norm and 188 South Main in Springville.
Well, wake up out there, 470-1400. Give us a call. We'd be glad to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about this morning. One of the things that I'd like to mention, we talked about antioxidant properties of
green tea.
But, write in your own spice cabinet. Even if you're not an herb user all the time, write in your own spice cabinet. You probably have a whole bunch of antioxidants. And it's interesting, they did a study of 78 common spices that are used. 32 of them showed antioxidant qualities.
Wow.
And a lot of those are the ones that we use all the time. The very highest on the list were rosemary and sage.
Wow. I have both of those
very
in my
space cabinet.
I have both of those.
Yeah. Okay, at any rate, right there. Rosemary and sage. Oregano, thyme, all of those.
I use those.
Yeah.
Isn't cloves mentioned in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
a
nutmeg?
Lot of things. Yeah. So some of the most common ones we have are the ones with the highest in the antioxidant qualities. Why don't we go ahead and take a call?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air.
Question. I'm just going to ask the question and then I'll hang up. I would like to know if you had salmonella or if you had giardia. I know they're opposite things, but could you just talk about what you would do if you had those two things?
What was the first thing you said?
Salmonella.
Oh, salmonella.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Thanks for your call. One of the things you could do is start using the spices because Salmonella, and E. coli have been shown to be inhibited with the use of these spices.
With garlic especially.
Yeah, garlic's another one. So Yeah, but all these common spices are something that you could use on a daily basis to kind of prevent those things from happening. Of course, salmonella is something that happens with animal products. So vegetarians seldom have a problem with salmonella. And Giardia, that's a little tougher. Giardia is a little tougher than actually E. coli or salmonella. But I think if you're doing these spices, even Giardia is not going to be a problem. If they're in there to start with, you know, because that's not the proper environment for these invaders of your system. And I think they're going to try to get out as quick as possible when they're in there. And they're not going to try to get through your system if you've got a lot of these spices, antioxidant qualities about you. And drinking green tea and things, I think those are good preventatives for all these situations. Once the problem's already happened, it's going to be a little tougher to get rid of. Dr. Christopher does have a really good formula. It's kind of strong, but it's a really good formula called VF. For vermifuge, and that gets rid of parasites. And like I said, they are the stronger herbs. Most of the Dr. Christopher formulas are tonics, but the VF is definitely a specific herbal formula. Well, I hope that helps.
Yes, I think you answered that well.
Well, let's get back to phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you know anything about fatty acids helping learning disabilities?
Yeah, there have been some studies on that, and the best place to get fatty acids, of course, are flaxseed oil. That seems to be our very best source. And, of course, eating fish is a good way to get essential fatty acids.
Okay.
Is that all then?
Do you know what the studies have learned? Or there have been a lot of studies, or is there...
Well, there have been a few studies, and they do indicate that the use of essential fatty acids it will help those conditions, and I think it's a lot of things happen because of a lack of certain nutrients. And one of the things that we want to do in a situation like that, if we are getting essential fatty acids in, but it doesn't seem to be helping, is maybe work on the liver. The liver processes fats, and that's how we utilize them. And so if we're taking foods that have essential fatty acids in but not getting the benefits, then we might want to do a liver detoxification and strengthen and cleanse the liver.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for your call. There's been some pretty good questions.
Yeah.
Already.
All of our callers have good questions.
I don't think we've ever had a call that wasn't a good question.
That's right.
So let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Oh, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. What would you do for an inner... It's an inner ear problem. It's not an inner ear infection. We went to the doctor, and he says it's not infected, but... There's a balance problem that goes on when you get real active running or jumping or that. There's a dizziness coming from the inner ear, and doctor can't find anything. They say it's not an infection, so we don't know what to do for that. Can you give some ideas of something that would help, a preparation or something that might help for that?
Sure. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
You know, we need to understand a little bit about the mechanism and why that would happen with an imbalance like that. The body's perfectly capable of keeping itself in balance. And when we come up with an imbalance of fluids in the head, it doesn't take a lot to imbalance the system. The body would normally not have that kind of an imbalance if it's draining properly. And you see, there's a drainage from the ears down to the throat, and that keeps the system in balance. So the fluid, excess fluids, can be drained out of there. It also helps with the pressure and when those tubes are clogged up, when the ears are clogged up, and there's a lot of mucus accumulation and such that's hard to drain, then we can get an imbalance. And so the first thing we want to do is make sure the eustachian tubes are open and carrying off what needs to be carried off. And so one of the problems that can happen with the eustachian tubes is that as they're passing through the glands, they're in the jaw. They could get pinched off. And so one of the things we want to do is relieve any pressure that's happening in the glandular area here in the jaw by the ear. And the sensei formula that they have at the herb shops would be wonderful just to rub into there. Okay. Molin lobelia massage oil is something we want to add to that, which always helps to move glandular areas. Also, just a light stroking of the area, the jaw area down into the throat to try to move the lymph. All that's going to help move out the blockage so that it may not interfere with the drainage in the eustachian tubes. The other things we'd do for the eustachian tubes would be try to get them open. Again, the sensei formula would be good to put into a vaporizer and breathe the fumes in. Just plain old vinegar would be a good idea. Put some vinegar in some water and boil some water, take it off the stove, put the vinegar in there, and then take a towel and put it over your head and put your head over the pot and breathe those fumes of vinegar coming off. A lot of times that'll open up the eustachian tubes. Another thing we could do is salt water douches up the nose. That tends to clear passageways and open things up, and that's a very soothing thing for the whole area.
It doesn't sound soothing.
Oh, but it is.
Okay.
It is. And if you get enough salt in the water, a lot of times if you don't have enough salt, then it's a little harsh on you.
So. What about the B&B? I know your dad's used that for if there's any problem of balance in the...
Right,
here.
And I was going to get to B&B.
B&B
tends to help with a nerve damage or nerve problems, and so the B&B works specifically on the nerves. So if the imbalance is happening from a nerve weakness or condition, then the B&B is what works very, very well. Black cohosh has been used by the Indians way before we ever got a hold of the herb, you know, for equilibrium problems, hearing problems. B&B is wonderful for in case you've lost hearing or if you've lost a sense of taste. A lot of times you'll go to a dentist, you know, and totally lose your taste buds,
mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like, because of the chemicals they use. B&B is one of the things that would help bring that back. If there's a real critical situation with the eustachian tubes not being open, a treatment that you wouldn't use like on a daily basis, but you could use once in a while in an emergency type situation, would be to take just a little bit of cayenne pepper and snuff it up the nose. And as you snuff it up and breathe it up and let it drip right back down the throat again, it touches the opening eustachian tube and just opens that right up.
Right.
So that would be one thing that you could do to relieve that pressure.
Absolutely.
Chewing gum might be a good idea.
Just to exercise
just
the jaw.
Just exercise the jaw, mm-hmm. Along with these other things that we've mentioned.
A nice, good, natural gum.
Yeah, I like that, what they have at the herb shop.
Pelu.
Yeah.
It's time for us to take a little break,
okay.
And remind everybody that that number is 470-1400. It's going to be really good classes. If you want classes specifically on single herbs, April is the month for you. You want to come out to the herb shop at 188 South Main in Springville and learn about your favorite herb. These classes will be held, like I said, at the Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. They're going to be held Tuesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. A single class is $20 per person, but, you know, we love to give discounts to those around here because we love to see your faces. And so if you want to call the the school at 489-4254. Monday morning, they can tell you what the discount will be if you prepay. And we especially love to see spouses come with their, you know, with their wife or their husband. We'd love to see couples come because we need to work together to have good health. And so we always give a really good discount to the spouse. So if you want to find out what that discount is, call the School of Natural Healing at 489-4254 on Monday morning.
If you've missed our whole year of herb classes, that's okay. This is just like a new thing, an additional thing on these single herbs.
Right.
In fact, I believe last year we did a whole semester on single herbs. Mm-hmm. And this year we focused more on conditions,
right,
and diseases and things. So we'll probably try to get some more in next year. But because we missed it, you know, we thought we'd add this month of April and talk about single herbs.
Right.
And you get a lot of information in these classes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're well worth coming to. Also, during the month of May, David is going to be starting his summer herb walks. And May is just a little bit early to be having herb walks because there's not a whole lot up in May. But David can pile a few people.
Well, the first session's already taken anyway.
Oh, is it?
They've already filled May 5th, and I think they've filled May 12th.
Well, you know, we limit how many people David takes with him because we don't want to trample everything, and also only so many people fit in the car because he during the month of May we need to drive to different locations. So
I did an herb walk once with 90 people.
Oh, it was pathetic.
And by the time the last people got to what I showed, the first people, everything was so trampled, you know. There were no herbs left.
They didn't know what to look at.
So we don't do big herb walks. We take small groups out, and then you can ask a lot of questions.
Right. This is individualized herb walks, and we only allow 6 students on each herb walk. And so during the month of May, we're going to have one on May 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. And if you're interested in an herb walk, now is the time to sign up for these because you don't want to miss out, and you want to know what herbs you're going to be working with all summer. And then, you know, on Wednesday, Sandy is still giving some lectures at the Orem store, starting at 6 o'clock, going only until 7, just an hour long. Wednesday evenings, she does stop a little bit early so that she can entertain questions. She gives you a lot of good information about the Dr. Christopher formulas. Please come and see Sandy Wednesday evenings between 6 and 7. She'll be there for you, and we want to have you feel part of the program. Come in and be with us. And now we'll take more calls at 470-1400.
Yeah, you know, it's your calls that drive the program. So give us a call, 470-1400. Let's go ahead and take a call. Hello, you're on the air.
I had a question on Ritalin.
Oh.
Actually, what is it and the dangers thereof?
Okay.
My little boy we were called into school and they told me that my little boy had learning disability and that he needs to see a psychologist and psychiatrist and perhaps get on Ritalin.
Well, Ritalin does not help learning disabilities.
Well, they suspect he has ADD.
Well, it doesn't really help ADD.
Okay.
Basically, all it does, Ritalin is a amphetamine.
Right.
And so, basically, all it does, amphetamines speed you up. But they found that a small dosage of amphetamine slows down someone that's really sped up.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound
yeah,
confusing?
Yeah, kids seem to have the counter reaction to it that have this disorder and.
Yeah, it's not really a counter reaction. I think what's happening is that when someone's really sped up, and you give them a little bit more speed, it's like kicking them off a ladder.
What would you do in place of what kind of herb? Because I really appreciate your show last week on fluoride. I work for Orem City, and I'm often down at the treatment plant, and I'm going to be sure and follow that through.
Oh, good for you.
So I'll do what I can.
Yeah, it's interesting as far as fluoride is concerned. There really are no valid studies that show sodium fluoride is necessary at all, or that it's effective.
Oh, the fact that it's a byproduct of aluminum is a shocker.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
But at any rate, as far as what were we talking about?
The Ritalin thing. I just don't know what to do with them. They set my husband and I down with the school psychologist and psychiatrist and a battery of tests that they had given him, the principal, the teacher, and really wanted me to do something to help this boy.
Let me ask.
How old is he?
He's 10. He's in fifth grade, right, going to middle school. But he's very young acting. And he does, he's always going.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot stop, but he's not over hyper. He just likes to do lots of many things.
Well, you know, and I think that's normal. You know, and to call something like that abnormal, I think there's something wrong with that.
I do too. I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
That's why I called.
But, you know, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What if someone forced you to do something you couldn't do on a daily basis? Every day of your life, they made you do something that you can't do.
Yeah, I'd totally rebel, I think.
And I think that a lot of times that's what kids do.
Mm-hmm.
They rebel in different ways. Maybe they rebel by acting up, or maybe they rebel by ignoring.
I think that's it. He does ignore
mm-hmm.
a lot of things.
And you know, I think I'd probably do the ignoring thing. I think if someone tried to make me do something I couldn't do, I'd just ignore them.
Exactly.
I mean, if I can't do it. And that's why we really highly recommend Charlotte's program.
Yes, is that the lady in Springville?
Yes.
Okay, what was her name again?
Charlotte Mackley.
Okay.
And the name of her business is Progressive Steps Learning Centers.
Okay.
And, she's wonderful.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
And then another thing that I would do, you know, a lot of times kids have a hard time and are a little hyper, it seems like, when they're exposed to allergens.
Okay. He does have allergies. He constantly has a kind of a runny nose.
And you might want to look at that as being a problem first and try to get over that problem before we go into something else. But if he's got allergies, Dr. Lennon Smith in Oregon noted that 70% of the allergies were cleared up by taking his patients off of milk.
Okay.
And so dairy products would be eliminated, and then right there, you got a 7 in 10 chance of hitting the nail on the head.
All right, we will try that. I appreciate it.
Okay, and then we'll go ahead and talk about some other things. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thanks for your
appreciate
call.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Other allergens that we'd have to look at, okay, are the chemicals that are in food, preservatives, the red dyes, all those things, you know, that we've heard so much about actually do cause allergic reactions. And sometimes those allergic reactions are manifest in hyperactivity. And sometimes they're manifest in almost comatose sluggishness. You know, so it's hard to say, but the easy thing is just to start eliminating those things from the diets. So very first thing we eliminate, even before these chemicals, we eliminate dairy. Dairy is the number one cause of allergies. Then we start eliminating really unnatural foods. There's no need for them in the diet. They don't do anything. These chemicals have no need to be there. And that's one of the things that's good about a health food store. A lot of times you go in a health food store and you go, it's the same type of food as they have in the other stores, you know. But there's one thing that's different, and it's a very important thing. And they do not use those chemical dyes and the additives and all those things. That's the nice thing about health food stores. Yeah, the foods may not be healthy, you know.
As healthy as we'd like them to be.
As healthy as we'd like them to be. And a lot of times they're just substitutes for other foods. But the main thing is they're getting those chemicals out of the system. And so that's one thing that's good about it. And, you know, the Kamutin honey, you know, just
that's
an example. It's a natural alternative to sugar smacks.
Oh,
you know?
They're so good.
You know, and you can't hardly tell the difference in taste, but you don't have all those chemicals in there. And it's like that down the whole line of things they have at the herb shop. You know? They're olives. Haven't been treated with gases to turn them black, you know. There's so many things they do to food that could be injurious to the system and could cause allergies. And so, we want to get away from unnatural things, and that's what natural food stores are for. The foods are all natural. They don't have chemicals added to them. And that's what's good about health food stores. You know, they're not the best foods. And some of them even have sugar and stuff in them.
And that's the first thing. That's the cheapest thing. The first step that you can take in trying to help a child with hyperactivity or any kind of problem behavior is to change the diet, because you have control over the diet.
Another thing that tends to cause attention deficit disorder problems, and this is getting away from learning actual learning disabilities, which Charlotte Mackley is the best helping you with. But if it's just a matter of chemical reactions and things and lack of nutrients, then you can simply just change diets. Now, a lot of kids are just lacking in nutrients. And a lot of times when you're lacking nutrients, it makes a tremendous effect. It's like manganese, okay? If you don't have enough manganese, it can be bad on your immune system. But you know what? If you get large amounts of manganese, it causes hyperactivity. And they tested inmates in the California penal system. And they found that those inmates that had high amounts of manganese were the most violent. And so levels, you know, of minerals make a difference. And if you got to get the minerals from a natural plant source in order to get the right balance. The body will take in, accept what it needs, and reject what it doesn't need. When you force minerals on the system, you can cause imbalances. So if you're trials on a mineral supplement from the grocery store, you may have a problem there. And so we instead do a balance with like the Vital Herbs. The Vital Herbs is one of the first things we give to kids that are hyperactive, don't seem to be paying attention and stuff, make sure they get the nutrients in them. And then the One Herb formula has been working fantastic as a Ritalin substitute because it works in a different way. Stimulates the brain, it feeds the brain, it gives all the nutrients the brain needs, is the kitty track.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to a mother just the other day who they were not going to allow her child in school again because he's so disruptive. And they started giving him the kitty track, and he is fine. He's doing just great. So there's a lot of things we can do. But go to the herb shops, get that kitty track, the Vital Herbs, start eating natural foods, stop the dairy, and that may solve the problem there.
But also, one thing we didn't mention is constipation can sometimes cause problems like that, and so we need to make sure that the bowels are moving every day.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Adults, when they get constipated, tend to be lethargic, but kids, when they get constipated, tend to be hyper.
Yes, they do. They just bounce off the ceiling.
Yeah. Boy, these two kids killed all those girls. Must have been really constipated. Must have been a lot of other things.
I wonder what they were on.
You know, it's a good possibility they were on Ritalin. Because Ritalin has effects on serotonin levels. And serotonin levels are screwed around with. You get all kinds of weird reactions. You know, and so we really need to think about, as a society, using drugs and causing some terrible problems. You know, let's take another phone call. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a friend, she doesn't speak English. She has an ulcer in her throat, and I told her I would call you, and please give me the different types of remedies from the natural healing products, and I'll hang up now, and then I'll listen to the different
ideas. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Ulcer in the throat. I think... You know, I cleared up an ulcer in my stomach with cayenne pepper. But I'm looking at, someone that's not used to using herbs and stuff. I think probably the first thing that I would use with an ulcer in the throat is slippery elm bark. We used to go ahead and take the slippery elm and mix it in some water, and it creates kind of slime. And that slime is exactly what's coats and soothes the throat, and is also very, very healing. So it's not just a coating thing. I mean, you could coat with milk, but that's going to make the problem worse. But when you coat with slippery elm, then you get the effect of soothing the condition, plus the healing benefits of the slippery elm. Slippery elm is so, so, so beneficial. And you know what? Slippery elm doesn't taste that bad either. Slippery elm has kind of a little bit of a mapley taste to it. And I kind of like it. And so you just go ahead and eat some of that continuously through the day, get the throat coated, and that itself may take care of the problem. Another thing you could do is add a little bit of licorice root to it, which adds a little sweetness to the mixture, and also has been used itself in healing ulcers. So, slippery elm and licorice. Well, I guess we could take another call. The lines are open.
How about that? 470-1400.
If you called and it was busy, give us another call. It's 470-1400. We'd be glad to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to mention a few things about the Ritalin.
Okay.
You know, I don't understand this society's condoning that class of drug. It's in the same classification as cocaine. You know, these amphetamines are very, very dangerous. You know, and it's not just a matter of, oh, a little bit's not going to hurt. You know, it's what they do with those drugs also. You know, the kids can just not take their dosages. And the selling price for Ritalin on the playgrounds is really high.
Between adults.
Yeah. If your kids don't care about their allowance being raised or anything, maybe you better be careful, you know, if they're on Ritalin. Very dangerous thing, and what the kids are doing, you know, is taking it, snuffing up their nose, and causing a real high, and it's a chemical high, and it's something that I think we need to be very, very careful of as a society. And, you know, and what message do we give to kids? Hey, drugs are okay if we give them to you, but drugs aren't okay if you take them. You know, drugs are okay if you get them from a doctor, but drugs aren't okay if you get them from a friend. You know, I think kids get mixed signals, and they go, well, wait a minute, but they're the same thing, you know? And in fact, it's an interesting thing about Ritalin. Most drugs, you know, go from the doctor's office to the street. Once the doctors find that they're too dangerous to use anymore, then they stop using them, and then you get them on the street. Ritalin was on the street, and then the doctor started using it.
Scary.
Yeah, everybody was shooting up with Ritalin back in the 50s, and then the medical profession was saying, two hits of Ritalin, you know, and it can damage you for life. And that was back in the 50s they were saying that. These were medical doctors. And now today they're going, oh, it's something they can take every day of their life. You know, what is the matter with our society? Sometimes I feel like I'm Alice in Wonderland, you know. And I wonder, am I crazy or is the whole world crazy? You know, I don't know. Interesting. Drugs. You know, we're giving the wrong signal to kids. You know, and it's getting the wrong signal also. You know, when moms pop pills to feel better, when moms take their Valium, when moms take their Prozac, when moms do this, and then they tell the kids don't do drugs. Hey, Mom, you're doing drugs. There's really no difference. Let's go back to phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question. I was listening to your program last week, and I am way out of the loop as far as immunizing is concerned. I just wanted to hear what's wrong with it, and why you're so adamant against it. And I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for your call. It's good to have an open mind and want to hear from both sides. You know, and the thing is going through school, you only hear the one side. You only hear about the wonderful benefits of vaccinations. But that's a statistical thing, you know. The interesting thing about all these vaccinations, all these childhood vaccinations, is that, except for the ones that were created, but the childhood diseases were a real problem around the turn of the century. But from the turn of the century until the 1950s, prior to coming up with the vaccines, every one of these diseases were on a sliding scale downward. And the death rate from all of these vaccines was down 97%. And so when the vaccines came out, and if you look at the scale of diminishing problem, when the vaccines came out on that scale, it didn't make any difference in the chart. You would have thought it would have had just a drastic drop, but it actually didn't. The measles vaccine, for example, is one of these that we're talking about. 97% reduced in the dangers of measles before the vaccine ever came out. Now, they're finding that the first measles vaccine that came out in the late 50s didn't work. In fact, it was very dangerous. And then the second one they came up with, they combined it with gamma globulin, and the gamma globulin ate the vaccine. You know, I mean, it destroyed the vaccine before it ever got in the system. And so, through the 70s, the measles vaccine was totally ineffective. Yet, while they're screwing around trying to make vaccines correct, for example, the measles one, the incidence rate continued to drop. Not just the death rate, but the incidence rate continued to drop, even though they admit that the measles vaccines were ineffective. And that's why everyone had to get revaccinated, you know, after in the 80s, is because they totally screwed up. The vaccines never worked. And they admit that themselves. Yeah, and it's that way with all the childhood vaccines. The main thing that those vaccines do is they suppress the disease. Why else would they, when they have an outbreak of the disease, go through and vaccinate children when they've already got the disease? That doesn't make much sense to me. Well, it doesn't make much sense unless you look at what the vaccines actually do. And what they actually do is they suppress the disease. They keep it from manifesting. So basically, it pushes it further down in the system. And any time you suppress a disease and push it further in the system, you're going to come up with something worse. And I think a lot of the health conditions we're having today is a direct result of suppressing disease. It's simply like looking at fevers. You know, if we suppress a fever, then we're pushing contaminants back into the system and not allowing the body to cleanse itself.
Right. You know, a really good book to think about purchasing that really goes over this information really well is Neil Z. Miller's book, Vaccinations Factory Theory.
Also, his first one, Vaccinations, Are They Really Safe and Effective?
Are They Really Safe and Effective? I can't remember that one. Are they really? One's green, the first one's green, and the second one's blue. Both of those books, once you pick them up, you don't want to put them down. The blue one made me mad, really upset me because of the government influence on it. But the green one, the first one, Are They Really Safe and Effective? Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? By Neil Z. Miller, is excellent to read, easy reading to read.
And he's got everything back to it. He's got it.
Everything is footnoted. Mm-hmm. Everything is documented in the back of the book. And this is what's so nice about this book is that this man is a researcher. He's not making money off of some other product by exposing this information. He is a researcher. He's got everything documented. You can flip to the back of that book and find everything that he says in there documented. And it's the book we use quite a bit when it comes to discussions with us. We also have an audio tape that we put out, the school cells on that we've done a program on immunizations. If you're interested in that, you can call the school. Monday.
It's only $4.
Right, it's 489-4254 if you're interested in that. But I would strongly suggest you pick up The Green Book by Neil Z. Miller, Vaccinations, Are They Really Safe and Effective?
There's a lot of books out against vaccinations. And, you know, these authors aren't going to make money one way or the other, whether you vaccinate or don't vaccinate your kids. But the medical profession is going to make money on whether you do or don't vaccinate your kids. And I think it all comes down to money. You know, it's one thing to treat sick people. You know, there's a certain amount of sick people out there, and you can make money on treating sick people. But think about it in your mind. Wouldn't you make more money if you were treating well people? You know? And I think that's the whole thing with vaccinations. You know, give them something that they think is going to prevent disease. If they don't understand the disease process, you can trick a lot of people into taking vaccines. In fact, right now, I guess the majority of the population, 90-something percent of the population believes in and uses vaccines. And it's interesting when a disease breaks out, like measles. Most of the children that come down with measles are children that have been vaccinated and have had the full series.
Yeah.
Every time an outbreak happens, it doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you're going to come down with it.
You're right. And, you know, right now, I have been bombarded with all these notices from the school because Jesse's entering eighth grade next year. And all the notices, I have gotten three of them so far that he will not be permitted in school without his vaccinations. And this is new law and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, and I keep writing back on all these forms I'm supposed to fill out, waiver already in his file. You know, uh-huh. All you have to do is look it up and find the waiver I signed down at the county health department.
But see, with all this paperwork, they can really intimidate parents, you know, and they think, oh, I can't get my kid into school. That's a lie. teachers, administrators, health departments perpetrating a lie. The state loss is pretty explicit.
Right.
All you have to do is get a waiver.
Right.
And before that, you didn't even have to get a waiver. You didn't have to have them at all. But they've been lying to us for decades and telling us, oh, your kids can't get in school if you don't have vaccinations. Well, yes, they can. You go down to the health department, you get a waiver. You know, and it's interesting. If your principle is correct, you don't need to lie about it. It'll be self-evident, and people will want to have their kids vaccinated. But if you're dealing with a lie, if you're dealing with something that doesn't work anyway, you're going to have to use heavy-handed techniques and force children and threaten to kick them out of school if they don't have them. Yeah. It's that we could talk hours on vaccines, but we won't. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. My husband had a spider bite, and the doctor gave him some very strong antibiotic, and eventually the spider bite cleared up, but he has had a yeast infection for about 6 months, and we've tried all kinds of medication, and it's very frustrating. What can we do herbally that can help him? He has the rash inside his eyes, in his mouth, around his stomach, wherever clothes are constricting.
You know, it's interesting, and I hate to add one more thing to your frustration, but it would have cleared up without the antibiotic. In fact, the antibiotic has no effect on it anyway.
On the spider bite?
On the spider bite. And so, unfortunately, your husband is suffering from a yeast infection from something that wasn't necessary in the first place. Doctors tend to have to do things when someone comes to them, even if there's nothing for them to do. As far as getting rid of the yeast infection, I guess...
Taking off of yeast breads and off of sugar.
Yeah, yeast grows on sugar, so that's the first thing we have to do is eliminating sugar or sugar-producing products that break down very easily. Highly processed grains are a real problem. White rice is a problem. If you eat the whole grain, like whole grain rice and whole wheat and things, that the complex carbohydrate that hasn't been processed doesn't seem to be a problem in sugar metabolization and its effect on yeast. So we'd stick with those foods. And we wouldn't want to use them as the major part of our diet. We'd want to mainly eat legumes and vegetables would be our main part of our diet.
And garlic.
And, you know, fish and stuff. Those things aren't going to affect candida. What we want to do is take things like acidophilus, a product called PB8, which gets a lot of the flora back in the intestinal tract. And we also want to heal the intestinal tract, because what happens is that the yeast grows appendages and drills its way through the intestines, which leaves microscopic holes, which gets the yeast out into the bloodstream. And so we want to stop that. And we also don't want to have a high blood sugar content. So sugar is a really important thing to stop. Sauerkraut, raw sauerkraut, kimchi, those types of foods would be good to get flora back in the intestinal tract. Flora is also on your produce, unless they've sprayed chemicals on the produce to keep it from, you know, deteriorating. Then you won't have any flora left. So, at any rate, that's what we do.
And I think our show's about over.
Yeah. Like happened before, you know, a lot of calls right at the end. We'd like to take all the calls, but you can't wait until the very end to call. So, you know, when we say, give us a call then, and we'll be able to take your calls.
There we go. Right there. There's our music.
It's been fun. And what makes the program interesting are your calls, and you're an integral part of our program. And it has been that way for, boy, what? We've had to have done this program for almost 7 years.
Oh, too many years.
Yeah. Until next week, be happy. Have a healthier you.